The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Okay, well, I can't hear me. Can anybody else hear me?
I can't hear anything.
I got lots of music.
I can't hear anybody. But I like the song.
It is great. Let's keep
Kevin,
it rolling.
Kevin, what are you doing back there?
Can anyone hear anything?
We'll just listen to the words.
Yeah, let's have a good one.
They are not live, Kev. No red light, no nothing. There we go. Hey, we're alive now.
So many buttons.
I can hear us.
Ay.
Welcome to the Gunslinger Hour.
A little late, but...
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor.
Not anything else.
Yeah. A tree surgeon.
Or a sound man, apparently. Anyway, welcome to the Gunslinger Hour. I am Jeff, the Gunslinger himself, owner of Gunslinger's Gun Shop, Gunslinger Auction, Gunslinger eBay, Gunslinger This, Gunslinger
et cetera,
That.
Et cetera,
and all of that.
And this week, Equestrian.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I had a little fun this afternoon. Rode my horse that I've had for a year and a half for the first time today. That was kind of cool.
Get on your horse and ride.
Yeah, my little spotty Appaloosa. Yeah, me and the Duke, you know.
That's, especially in the weather, finally got a little break, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Of course, it's coming back.
Yeah, and we enjoy it while it lasts. This is just April showers. We're just heading
into it. It's supposed to rain again this Wednesday.
Yeah.
I've got a training class I've been trying to hold on a Wednesday for about 5 consecutive weeks now. Yeah. I mean, these people aren't believing that I'm real anymore. Honestly, it just keeps...
Well, and what is this new deal with the, what do they call it? An atmospheric river.
A what?
It's rain, for crying out
many,
loud.
Many rain. It's like Tide. You got it new and improved every 18 months.
Yeah. I like Pepsi. I like Coke. I like Coke Classic. Don't give me Crystal Pepsi.
Atmospheric river.
Where's my Zima?
It's just rain.
Don't
folks.
Give me new stuff. Give me old stuff.
Get over it.
Let's back up to the Zima for a second. You concern me now, James.
I should have concerned
anyway,
you before.
Anyway, welcome to the Gunslinger
Hour.
Yeah,
show here.
We talk about nothing but firearms.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And so on and so forth. A little bit of sobering news. We were talking about this before the show started, but a dear friend of both Mark and mine, who I've known for more than 25 years, Cletus Starr. Real name Ken Thornton, passed away on us earlier this month. Mm. And I actually saw him the day he
passed.
At End of Trail, the Cowboy World Championship. And Cletus and I, I'm going to give you a real quick Cletus story.
He was a character. Preface all with that.
Yeah. We're at 2001, the California State Championship, and they're counting down the top 10, and it gets down to 3. It's going to be.
And they haven't called your name yet. That's a good moment.
It's going to be me, Cletus, or Stoney. And this is in 2001 when targets were 12-inch circles
at 35 yards.
Yeah,
targets are still difficult.
I'll never forget the one stage where you had to hold a bag of gold in your front hand of your lever gun
while you shot.
Yeah, and it was a 3 sweep. So left center right, left center right, left center right, with this bag of gold swinging the whole time
with you.
And it weighed about 5 pounds. So when it swung. Everything went with it, and you're trying to hit this target. It was the old
time,
days.
Yeah.
The good old days.
So anyway, so here we are, and they call third place, Cletus Starr. And if you knew Cletus, he was 6'5", 275. Just great big smiling face. Great, just a great guy. And he gets up, and he's all, in his overalls and
the
big
uniform.
Grin on his face, and he takes it and says, thank you very much. He comes down and sits down. And now, the second place, and there's a long pause, And he's Stony Burke. And before anybody could even applaud, Cletus goes, I'm going to be sick.
What a reaction.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's like, oh, thanks, I think. You know, and so Stoney gets up, and then they call me up for first place, and I go up to get my – and you know what? He gave me such a bear hug, he picked me up off the ground about 6 inches. And
which he could do.
Yeah, and left me there for about a half a minute.
There's your
or until I turned blue as his overall. But that was just Cletus. He was a lot of a, you know, heck of a guy. And
good memory. Went on his own terms. And I asked when I heard that you had seen him mm-hmm. on his last day. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, that's where he wanted to be. And the first thing I asked was he wearing his overalls?
And he absolutely was, yeah. Man. He was wearing his overalls and... So, you know, vaya con Dios, my friend. Gonna miss you. Cletus was a heck of a guy.
We'll see you again on this side.
Yeah, you know, and
oh, man.
Yeah. One of the biggest bummers about being a cowboy action shooter is, you know, I was the kid when I started, and I was 38. And, you know, and back then, there were no brass picker-uppers. You just picked it up off the ground, and guess who got that job?
The kid?
And, the 38-year-old kid that could still bend over. You know,
that's sounding like a box of Rice Krispies.
Something snap, crackled, and popped.
So, we go back a long. They had a nickname, Cletus and Stoney, the Nick Brothers.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, you know, because whenever they spotted for the, I think he nicked it.
That's great. That's going to be missed.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're watching, we have this new logo behind us. How cool is this?
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Oh, we got all kinds of crazy stuff. We got it. You see us up there on this TV?
We are over there.
That's Rumble.
Holy smokes. I think I know those guys.
Yeah, we got cameras going everywhere. Jimmy, how do people get into us?
Well, if you want to listen to us, you can listen to us right here on KRLA 870 AM. If you want to find us on Facebook, that's the Gunslinger Hour Radio Show. Likewise, on Rumble, we are the Gunslinger Hour Radio Show. You can search up GHRS on there as well. It'll bring us up. iHeartRadio, again.
Yeah, you can download iHeartRadio, and anywhere your phone works, you can hear this show.
Yeah, so, if you're not getting good reception, if your internet's down, it is a very easy way to sign in.
And curiously enough, we are on Rumble, and people are commenting on Facebook how much better it is on Rumble.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how that works.
Well, because Rumble apparently is a right-wing organization. And
limiting our bandwidth.
And certain people at other... We've been trying to, you know, and as we become more popular with the show, apparently our feed on something else gets worse and worse. Because if you guys remember back when we first started, we used this itty bitty little tripod with my phone and a sack
of quarters.
Well, no, there was a shotgun, a box of shot shells behind it to hold it in place, and then a box of 40 caliber.
Behind that.
No, in front of it.
To hold it in place. To squeeze it in between. That
and
was
that
great.
Worked perfect when we had no listeners and no nothing. But now that we're getting listeners and so on and so forth.
The
now,
technology has failed us.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Facebook Live doesn't work anymore.
Go figure. It was great when we were cavemen.
Yeah, right? When we used to do, what was it?
Hello.
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 Anyway, so
we're doing a good show.
And thank you guys, everyone that's here right now, for telling your friends and listening in and stopping
Absolutely. Right? Tell everybody and share, because the more people get in, the funner it'll be, guys.
And this is a call-in show.
Yeah.
And follow, mm-hmm. subscribe, do it all.
Yeah, and phone number to call in.
866-870-5752. And we've got a fun little little idea tonight. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of our childhood inspirations about gunslinging and guns in general, and fictional, nonfiction. We can pull out from everywhere we can. So if you have anything to add in, it's going to be again 866-870-5752.
So we're talking about if you saw a TV show growing up, if there was a movie that influenced you,
book.
Or a book. Those of you that know how to read,
I played a few video games that inspired me.
Yeah. A little Red Dead going on.
And let's get to Richard at the airport.
Speaking
Richard, how are you?
Yeah, flying on in.
Good evening, you magnificent gunslinger.
Thank you kindly. What can we do for you?
I want to know, you know, now there's, my understanding, there's only two types of gunpowder. Some is granular form, and the other is like little flake.
There are more. There are extruded tubes, et cetera.
Yeah, there's these days there are several types. What you're talking about is old black powder, where you had the kind of the bigger granules and the lighter.
For slower burning, yeah.
Yeah, and then for stuff like in the pan, it would be a finer.
Very fine.
Yeah. I think it's 1F, 2F, 3F, and so on. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you saying there's some gunpowder that's more solid form?
Well, you can get all kinds of different ones. Pyrodex, for a while, was actually making,
little pellets.
Yeah, pellets as a black powder substitute. So instead of having to pour the loose powder, you could just drop a pellet in and put the, load your ball on top of it, and off you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. You got a joke for us tonight, Richard?
Yeah. If they manufactured a pencil with an eraser at both ends, what would your opinion be on that?
My opinion?
Doesn't matter, because I'd probably change my mind.
No. I would say keep it away from the president, because he may choke to death. That's about all I got, Richard. Well, go ahead.
Whoa, I'm stumped.
It would be pointless.
We had a question for you here on the interwebs here.
Really quick.
Leanne wants to know, why are you at the airport? Do you ever actually fly anywhere?
While I'm at the airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do everything there. I do ground school, seminars, flight training, you name it.
Hey.
Richard, we got to go. We're coming up on a commercial. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Take care.
Right.
Little Buddy Holly, we'll be back right after this.
Someday we'll all be blue. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you made me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day when I die.
Hey, Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions in Glendora and Orange. If you want to buy or sell pistols, rifles, collectible, or antique firearms, or if you just want to buy ammo and supplies, Gunslinger's is the place to go. If you have a gun collection you'd like to sell for a big profit, come to Gunslinger's. I believe in every American's right to bear arms and protect themselves and their families. I also believe in gun safety and getting the best possible advice on firearms. So come to a Gunslinger's Gun Shop near you. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. If you have questions about firearms, we've got the answers. Plus, Gunslingers has fantastic gun auctions several times a year. Our next auction is May 28, where you can bid on outstanding firearms online, in person, by phone, or with absentee bids. Go to GunslingerAuctions.com to learn more. For hours, directions, videos, and info on firearms, ammo, and our next huge auction, May 28th, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Gunslinger Auctions in Glendora and Orange, GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com.
You sure?
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Sugar pie, honey bunch. You know that I love you. I can't help myself.
Oh, Jimmy. My falsetto is
man.
Welcome Jimmy, back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Hour. But what is going on with my mic? How come I can't hear me?
Same.
You know, I
hear you fine. I don't hear me with
my hand.
You know what?
Seven,
it might
seven,
hear you
seven,
okay. Seven. Your actual headphones, then. I would jiggle your wiggle.
Wiggle my jiggle?
Hey.
All right. Doesn't matter, because Rick is going to take up most of this segment anyway. So let's go.
Save us, Rick.
Our friend Rick at the CRPA. Rick, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know what I always say. I'd bitch, but nobody listens.
Yeah. Hey, we got some good news this week.
Wait. What was that?
I complained, but nobody listened.
There we go. We found it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm me. What can I say?
Yeah.
So,
what about your week?
Well, we had a great week. Of course, they counterattacked, but we don't care because we're having a great week. So.
Yeah.
It started off on Monday. We had the Bullen v. Bonta victory, which was dealing with the roster, which was probably one of the most often. When are you guys ever going to fight the roster? I kept saying, we're doing it.
And
we did it. We got the court to side with us. The state has about a week left to decide if they're going to appeal it. We assume they will, knowing them, they'll wait till the last minute. Mm-hmm. And one of the big questions I keep getting asked is, why does the state, if they know they're going to appeal, wait till last minute? Because they're trying to draw it out as long as possible to avoid it going to the Supreme Court for as long as possible. hoping that the Supreme Court's makeup will be changed by the time it gets there.
Right.
So that's part of the overall battle with any of these cases. And that's always going on. But as a lot of us who have been around the industry for a long time realize, the roster has been something that has decimated, obliterated, and almost any other negative aided that you want to use, the number of firearms that anyone could purchase here in California to barely, like, I think right around 200 models. And what we got in that was that any kind of, you know, loaded chamber indicator, magazine disconnects, micro-stamping requirements, et cetera, are all considered unconstitutional.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was great. It will go to the Ninth Circuit. We are pretty confident that we'll get a 2-1 victory again at the Ninth, but then we will go back to that wonderful land of the en banc, where the Attorney General will try to do his best to pick the judges on that and stack them in his favor, which will then take us to the Supreme Court. So the biggest thing, and I think what people have to realize, is everybody's like, oh, can we go buy? And I've seen a lot of people like, hey, you might be able to buy this stuff. Get excited. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the real victory here is, for years, the state and the legislature was able to look at us and go, you have no constitutional standing. We're not doing anything wrong. And this is yet another slap from the courts saying, yeah, this is unconstitutional. And it's a completely different judge. I mean, everybody else wants to go, well,
yes,
is that Judge Benitez? No.
Yes.
This is a different judge.
By the way, he was very careful in my reading. He was very, very careful to deal with the constitutionality of the issue. He kept referencing that back again.
Right. And so this is what we're starting to see, not just here in California, but CRP is involved with several other cases that impact California, just like this case impacts other states in the Ninth Circuit. And we're getting victory after victory. And so people should be seeing that. And that also led to a victory in the Senate. We had a Senate Bill 54, which was from Senator Skinner. She was going after firearms. She was going after the idea of possibly more micro-stamping ideas and things like that. And she actually, wait for it, did a gut and amend. And it's now Senate Bill 54 has nothing to do with firearms. It has to do with professional investments. So sometimes gut and amends go a different direction.
How?
That's fine. As long as
it's okay with us.
Go away from our direction.
But and what exactly was the correlation between those two topics?
None.
Thank you.
But she wants to have something that gets through because that's how she measures her worth to her constituents. And,
right,
you know, we were very happy for her to go a different direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another victory.
Yep.
We did have four of the spot bills, though, become activated, and I told people we were going to see some of those. So real quick, just so your people know, there's one from Gibson, and this basically has to do with 3D printers. And so he had a bill just called Firearms, which was 1089, but now he's trying to come after any three-dimensional printers and CNC milling machines and make it a bigger crime for people to try to use those. But this bill is so specific to a specific industry that it becomes unconstitutional on its face. So getting an injunction, even if this was to pass, which I think there's a good chance we'll stop it from passing this year, but even if it was to pass, getting an injunction on this is going to be fairly easy. The next one has to do with CCWs. Oh, shock.
Shocker.
And this one is... I'm going to rank Chavo up there with AB 1133 right along with Portantino and SB2 gang, and this is why. Here's Chavo's brilliant idea. No longer should we trust sheriff's departments or police departments with the training of their constituents for CCWs. You know who knows best? The DOJ. And the DOJ should run all the training.
Wow.
And one of the arguments we're making is because, wait, the most law-abiding citizens are the people who went through training by their local sheriff and police offices, and we've had no major incidences, so that's a reason to overtax an already completely demolished overtaxed agency called DOJ.
That's got to stop.
Yeah. And not to mention, there is no way they can hold to the Bruin decision of 90 days because, as you know, Jeff, and I don't even have to be funny with this one, DOJ is not capable of getting the majority of this stuff done in 90 days.
Oh, no.
Man.
No, they are so...
Under... what is it?
Underemployed and overworked.
Okay. I was like, is that a word?
Yeah. Just like me.
All the work and no one to do it.
Then we have McCarthy, who has never been a friend. And he has Assembly Bill 1406. And this is... This one's also heinous. And I hope you don't have to deal with this one, Jeff. I hope we beat this. Mm-hmm. But it allows... Two things. So, as we all know, existing law prohibits you from delivering a firearm within 10 days after the application to purchase, as specified, and it tells you when you can and can't, right?
Right.
Well, that would extend it to 30 days if this bill went through.
You have to wait. Don't they only allow 30 days for your firearm to be delivered? Yeah. So
what this would do is it would... the Department of Justice can request an additional 30 days for what they feel is an extraordinary event or incident, but there are no definitions of what that is.
Wow. So how does that work? Because you do have 30 days to pick up the firearm. Yes, you have 11 minutes to get down here and pick up your firearm. Otherwise, we have to start all over again.
I hope you were already here.
No, you would have to. No, let me be real clear. You would have 30 days still to pick it up, but you would have to wait 30 days instead of waiting 10 days.
Yeah, got it. Understood. And they used to do that. If you guys, you'll remember, it used to be 21 days for a handgun and 15 for a long gun. Then it went 10 for a long gun and 15 for a handgun. And then they just said, okay, let's just make it 10 days.
10 to 10.
And didn't Benitez already slap this down once?
Yep.
And said that everybody else in the United States gets their gun in a half an hour. Why don't we? And he gave them like 90 days to fix this, and whatever happened
the
there.
The solution is to extend
that
period.
The reply. This is them fighting back against it. No. And you have to realize we're dealing with people that literally say the Constitution is nothing but a tradition. It's not. Yeah. Despite everything that's being said. So,
a living document. They call
it's
it.
Right.
A tradition.
And then the last one. Is 1483. It's from Valencia. It deals with, again, firearm purchases. But what this would do would prohibit a person from making more than one application to purchase a handgun within a 30-day period. And it would remove the PPT. So there would be no more private party transaction exemptions in that prohibition.
Okay, so Your brother decides he wants to sell you his gun collection, and he's got 40 guns. You're going to wait 40 months.
40?
Correct.
One per 30. So that's years and years and years you're going to be waiting. And you have no other purchases because you're already PPTing these. You're getting these transferred
to
you.
And what if the brother has, you know, had a run-in with the law and has to get rid of them? So now you're going to put the onus on the gun shop who's going to have to hold these guns for 40 months.
And who? Wow.
They're
already pushing back how long you have to wait for these guns, and just imagine that wait on those many guns.
My insurance for a year is already in the five figures. And can you imagine if,
having to hold on to that much inventory that way?
They're really looking to make sure that everyone's paying for the hold-in.
Well, we got 2 minutes left in the segment, so what else you got, Rick?
Well, no, that's the bad stuff. We got good stuff. We have a lot of events coming up. So, you know, go to our website, crpa.org. A lot of positive things going on. We've got more victories coming out of the courts here in this next month. And so, you know, the war is on, but we are winning, and we keep winning, and we need people's support. And starting next month, we're going to be kicking off Election 24, and so you're going to start to be able to see local elections started to be popped up and candidates that we're vetting already for the election and trying to get those people out there and get some support for them. So got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of things moving forward, and it's a really good time to be fighting for the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I saw some of the info on some of those candidates in the back of the firing line this last month, so you guys check that out when you get a chance.
Good stuff.
And again, if you guys want to join the CRPA, donate your time, your money, anything, how do they get a hold of you, Rick?
CRPA.org, and if you have questions, contact at CRPA.org.
All right, and lastly, Rick, what we're talking about tonight is...
Your inspirations.
Influences. Yeah.
Influences as a child.
Be it TV fictional, film. Non-fictional.
Yeah.
Growing up as a kid, what gun guy made your day?
I actually, and I got to meet my hero, but it was the Rifleman.
Hey. Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, the America's first serial killer.
And single father.
You know what? That show is quite impressive. They always tried to have some sort of a moral ethos. Well, he's gunning down bad guys. Yeah. They're always bad guys. But seriously, just the little attention to detail and trying to create a moral code in that show is kind of impressive.
Yeah, a lot of things are very impressive.
And in the meantime, every 30 minutes, the guy kills 1 to 3 people.
Bam, 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 bam. All by myself with my friends.
Rick, as always, thanks. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.
Okay, yeah. We'll see you later.
Again, Rick.
Bye-bye.
I'll bet he's not going to be the only one with the Rifleman.
Well, Rifleman would be high up on my list, but I tell you, the one that really got me, if you remember in the funny papers, Hip Shot Ricochet.
Percussion, baby.
Yeah, and Rick O'Shea was just the leanest, meanest with that itty-bitty little mustache.
I knew Ricochet Rabbit.
No, this was in the papers.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the Gunslinger Hour, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we will.
You might have to explain what papers are to Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, I know the papers. I want to get it.
I heard it.
Waiting.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild out boys that have been away.
Ain't change had much to say.
Man, I still think them cats are crazy. Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Show right here on KRL.
Okay. Anyway, as promised, we're going to talk about guys that when we growing up, the guys
influences,
that, influences, firearm influences.
Yeah.
Be it book, TV. For me, the funny papers.
Any media type that you're into.
And of course, you know, not to diss, you know, a great American icon. My dad was a huge John Wayne fan, so of course. Anytime when you know, Channel 5 Ben Hunter in the afternoon, I'd come home from school 2:30 in the afternoon, and my old man's got this cup of coffee, you know, cigarette in one hand, cup of coffee in the other, you know, and drinking and smoking at the same time, watching Ben Hunter with some John Wayne movie, you know, be it Man Who Shot Liberty Valance all the way to some Singing Sandy debacle. if you've ever seen one of the Singing Sandy, it's they're so bad. It was such a, you know, 35-minute B-Western.
Just rolling.
Oh, man.
Some of those things, the Hopalong Cassidys.
Some of them are okay.
The Odors.
Yeah, the Odors. But the Singing Sandy ones, woof. The Duke, if, you know, great actor, but the man couldn't hold a note in a bucket. Yeah, so if you ever hear him sing with his real voice,
I'm sure he sings just fine.
Not so much, but
Angel.
Anyway, so I guess for me that'd be my two guys, you know, Rick O'Shea and the Duke.
Wait.
Rick O'Shea or Hip Shot?
No, it was Ricochet.
So Ricochet was the one that you really...
Yeah.
And surprisingly enough, there's a cowboy, a couple of them probably out there.
Ricochet Russ up in Seattle. Yeah. Used to live down here. And yeah.
Good cat.
And again, when I joined SAS, that was my number one name that I tried. I had 25 names, and they were all taken.
All taken, of course.
And HUD was a movie that, you know, it's really a contemporary Western.
Absolutely.
You know, because they're driving trucks and, you know, and so on and so forth. But Paul Newman played a bit of a...
Not that good a guy. A bit of a rake.
Kind of a scamp. And it's like, how about HUD? And they go, yeah, that's good.
Kind of a scamp. I always like that.
Sticks.
Yeah,
fits.
It stuck.
You scamp,
yeah.
You.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and now there's every kind of HUD known to man. There's High Plains HUD and HUD this, HUD that.
HUD all over the place. Yeah. And you're the second to the original HUD. Yes,
no, I am the original HUD.
Besides the HUD.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny. I'm looking at Rick O'Shea, and like the name, I was expecting something different. Maybe an Irishman at all.
Yeah,
and he's very, very Western European. What is it? What is it? Latina almost. No, very that's, romantic.
That's hip shot.
That's hip shot.
That's
okay. Hip shot.
That's Ricochet. Who I'm thinking. Then the one
okay.
with the pencil mustache.
Yes, with the
oh,
mustache.
Oh, that's hip shot.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ricochet was the baby-faced young sheriff.
Okay.
Okay. So now it's all coming together.
Yeah. All right. There you go. So hip shot.
Yeah, hip shot. Okay. Again. And always thought he was the cooler.
Yeah,
the
and hip shot is Sass number four, so I ain't getting that.
Raleigh not.
All the good ones.
Funny
taken.
Enough, when I called Sass and said, "Is Frederick Jackson Turner taken? Is Frederick Jackson Turner taken?" The lady on the other end of the line goes, "Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure that one's open."
Didn't even look it up. Didn't even
Didn't
cross
even
reference.
Look it up.
No, she's like, "You're
30,000 numbers." Yeah, you're good.
Kid. Yeah, it's you.
So who's your guys' influence?
Take it.
Okay, well, my number one. I don't know if it's just a namesake thing or just because my mom was in love with it, but James Bond, like just cool guy with a gun. And
which James Bond?
Well, I had.
There's only one. James
I'm a Connery man.
Yeah, there's
thank
only
you,
one James
John
Bond.
Connery.
All right. Thinking
that is the that's the only place you can go. But throughout even throughout the years, it was
did
that,
you read any of the books?
You know
or
what?
Just the movies?
I have. Like my mom actually got me the
because what was
when
he carrying? Apparently, Ian
originally,
Fleming, yeah. Ian Fleming apparently was not a real gun guy because he was carrying a .25 caliber Beretta. Yeah.
Very interesting
and doing some kind of unlikely things.
and then I think he went up to a Walther PP.
Yep.
Then he went to the PPK, and as
and
we
that's
know,
the icon.
Yeah, and 380s, as we all know, is 9mm on stun.
It was something always cool about him, and just that he wasn't just like gunslingers of the movies today.
He's just cool.
Wasn't just running out of ammo all the time. He'd take a shot, hide behind something, and every time he shot, he usually hit who he was going for. So he wasn't just dropping mags left and right, Wiki.
Yeah.
But just saying, Zoll, like that's what kind of got me in there.
And understand, too, that, you know, 60s movie henchmen were not exactly, well, actually, till to this day.
He threw a hat. He threw a hat.
Which stuck.
Odd job.
Which stuck in a concrete column.
No, and he chopped off the
head of
the bus.
A metal pipe.
And it, yeah, it took the bust off of a head off the bus.
Because that happens all the time.
All the time. I've seen it twice at least.
You had to have your villains had to have some special power.
You know what? We're not getting calls. Give out the number.
Hey, if you have any of your inspirations, 866-870-5752. Once again, I'll say it a little slower. 866-870-5752.
They're stacking them deep. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You didn't stumble on
They're stacking them deep on the Facebook.
Oh, wonderful. So okay. Yeah, I'm not jumping on. Yeah, so what are we looking on there?
You're busy looking at Pip Shop. Okay, so James Bond. Bond was cool.
Bond
no
was cool. And then, secondly, I'm going to go to comic books, The Punisher. The Punisher was just a one-man army. So every gun he knew how to use everything. And his quest for revenge was... It couldn't be quenched with all the blood in the world. And so just a man on a mission with every gun was kind of like...
Which Punisher?
Okay. You know what? I started in the comic books, and okay. I think there was a Frank Miller run that was kind of graphic and
gory. The Thomas Jane one, though, or the...
In movie-wise?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? You know what? Yeah. I don't think there's been a bad Punisher.
You know what? I'll go with you on that, honestly.
I think... Actually, let me take that back because I do believe Mr. Baywatch himself, was he Nick Fury? Come back to that. But Punisher as a if I have to have go one and two, yeah, that's kind of something wild that kind of opened my eyes to see that there are that many guns. I think I was used to cowboys until I saw that.
Fair enough. Thomas Jane, that's Mickey Mantle in 61.
Honestly, that's how I reference him straight up.
That's all
I
can
see.
He
did a great job.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. What a great show.
Man.
Great movie.
That's it.
But it's not gun, so... We'll...
That's okay. Back to the...
And then Titus Pullo, I think.
That's the other one. God damn, what's that guy's name?
Ray...
Davidson?
Atchison? Something like... I can't...
Anyway, yes.
He only has a name, and it's Titus Pullo.
Right there with you, honestly. Right there with you.
13th.
Oh, yeah, right. What a dumb move by HBO to kill that show. Anyway,
John Bernthal is in the latest Punisher.
Latest, he's the series.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but we don't know him because he didn't play in something else.
Yeah, but no, he has been in some other stuff. But I'm not going to bring it up right now because it's not about that.
Okay.
It's about. Yours. What are your picks? Because we can always go back through. I know we have more than two in our list. I have.
Okay. I'm going to reach back deep into these mists and sands of time. Elmer Keith.
Okay.
Who wrote a book. He wrote several books. He was Idaho farm boy, and apparently editing this guy was quite the chore. But he wrote a book called Hell, I Was There, which talked about him traversing the firearms world of the early 20th century. He was born in 1899, and so this guy did grow up with real cowboys mm-hmm. and stuff. But he is responsible, well, actually partly for my love of the wheel gun, he is responsible for the development of the 357 Magnum.
Yep.
The 44 Magnum and the 41 Magnum. Now, one at least of those has fallen by the wayside, but 357 and 44 Magnum. 44 Magnum has been used to take, if I understand correctly, absolutely every game animal on this planet at some point in time. And he was famous for these crazy 100-yard, 200-yard, in one case, 600-yard pistol shots.
That's impressive.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's
and this is the Babe Ruth called shot when you're taken downing a wounded deer at 600 frickin' yards with a handgun. And he did it before the cylinder was empty.
I was going to say, so he shot, went, smoked a cigar, had a cup of coffee, came back.
Waxed the
and
car.
And then waited. Yeah. 20 minutes later, yeah, okay.
And he was rolling cigarettes at the time, so yeah, it took him a bit to do that.
Right.
So.
Man, that is an impressive shot, 600 Absolutely. Yards.
Okay, so Elmer Keith, again, Mists of Time, Alvin York. And you'll know why. The marksmanship involved. And my love of the 1911 comes from what that guy did, which was he started the movie, man. He started the idea of, I don't know if he started it, but he was charged. At one point, his rifle ran dry. And a group of Germans had been listening to the five-shot strings that he was shooting, and a group of them crawled close enough. And after he shot the fifth shot, dropping the fifth guy with five shots, by the way, they jumped up and bayonet charged him from a distance of several yards. And he reached down into his holster, and he pulled out his 1911, and he calmly picked off the last guy, then the next guy, and the next guy. Because as he said from hunting turkeys, I knew if I shot the guy in front first, the rest would go to ground, and they'd have me. So he picked the last guy up till the front guy was charging him all by himself, and he dropped him with the last shot.
Boom.
Bang. So, Alvin York.
And within the last 2 years, I was reading somewhere that they were doing some excavating around where that battle happened.
And they found
some brass.
They found Whoa. Seven freaking 1911 cartridges.
I mean, holy mackerel.
Right?
Wow.
If that could be proven.
Right.
You talk about some expensive brass.
Man.
Literally myth. Brass
but,
of myth.
But it was, I know. I read that article and I went, that adds a little fire to that particular column of smoke, doesn't
and,
it?
And oddly enough, in the movie, of course, Gary, you know, the wonderful Gary Cooper, uses a Springfield 03, but in real life,
his unit was issued the Springfield 03, was issued the Remington.
Yeah, M17.
But his son said, to the day he died, he insisted that he preferred the Springfield, and he'd gotten his hands on one.
Oh, okay.
Which in a wartime environment can happen.
Very likely to happen.
And I know that you happen to be a fan of that particular rifle as well.
I love the 03. Oh, man, and next auction, we have an 03. You ready? It's actually the M1922, which is an 03 converted to 22 for target.
Ooh. There are a lot of those out there, aren't there?
No.
Man.
I got a lot of them. I got a collection of them. But, man, this one in the auction is going to be beautiful. All right.
I got one more.
Real quick.
Steve McQueen, Magnificent Seven. Coolest guy ever.
I cannot disagree with that.
That's the combination right there.
You bet. Did you get nominated? No. Did you get elected? No, but I got nominated real good. All right, this is the Gunslinger Hour, and we're going to be right back. Don't forget, give us a call at
866-870-5752.
And Brent, we got a call coming in from you. We'll get you as soon as we get back from the break. This is Gunslinger Hour right here on
KRLA.
And we'll be right back. Hey, Hey, Jeff here from the Gunslinger's Gun Shops. If you want to buy, sell, or trade pistols or rifles or collectible or antique firearms, our next great auction is May 28th. Or come to the Gunslinger's Gun Shops in Glendora and in the City of Orange. We've got fantastic selections of pistols, rifles, high-tech, and military firearms, plus skeet, trap, holsters, targets, ammo by the box, reloading supplies, laser sights, and all the extras you need. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. Come pay us a visit and we'll give you great advice on what guns to purchase and what firearms to collect. If you have a gun collection you'd like to sell for a big profit, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Our next great gun auction is May 28th with amazing deals both online and in person. So if you're buying, selling, or trading a firearm or gun collection, come to Gunslinger's Gun Shops in Glendora and the City of Orange, or go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Learn more about our huge gun auction May 28th at GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com. Welcome back. I love that song. Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger.
Anything out of that Motown.
Yeah. And as usual, our final segment's already here.
Oh, the quickest hour on radio, I'm telling you about it.
Real quick, let's get to Brent in L.A. Brent, how are you?
Hello, you young whippersnapping gunslingers.
Thank you kindly.
You know, I'm Plotson here. Mm. We absolutely have to bring back wonderful, wondrous Westerns.
Oh, and no kidding.
Concur. In every format.
Mm. And, you know, you definitely you started off with the big one, the Liberty Valance. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to go with John Wayne, we got to throw in there Rio Grande, True Grit, Rooster Cogburn, and The Shootist.
Fill your hand.
Yeah, every one of them is an excellent movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you talked about The Rifleman, mm-hmm. and how a lot of Westerns, they have moral...
Some kind of moral code and behavior, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think that's what's so powerful about Westerns and the great ones. And so, in addition to Rifleman, thinking Bonanza, The Big yep. Valley, of course, with Barbara Stanwyck and that rifle. And also, the most important of all, I think, the TV shows, which is so overlooked today and have to bring it back, is Richard Boone with Have Gun Will Travel.
Mm-hmm. You got a couple shots out on the interweb on that
one.
Yeah, it has so many moral lessons. It's very theatrical. It's very literary. You know, Richard Boone, he's technically a bounty hunter, but that's not who he is.
No.
He's a West Point graduate. He has this incredible backstory of how he got to where he is, and how he uses a gun only as a last resort. And it's such an incredible series. And also, one of the writers on it, Gene Roddenberry.
he made a little bit of a splash.
Yeah, well, he started with that, and then I noticed what he did is he took the Western town and he lifted into outer space on the USS Enterprise.
Substantially, yes.
It's yes, Western. Space Westerns, that's what the big
I
thing
like
was.
I like Star Wars, yeah. Yeah. Same thing. They're good, just good Westerns.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. Well, you know, of all people, for a long time, a good customer of mine was James Earl Jones. And we got into a bit of a heated debate over Westerns because I said the Western is the really only true American art form. And no, jazz. I says, no, jazz really comes from the French Quarter. And so it's got a lot of European leanings. And I said, the American Western is really the only true American art form. So there you go. I finally got him to admit it, that, you know, begrudgingly a little bit, but he was a heck of a guy. He's still alive, but he doesn't come out to the West Coast anymore. But
how about you both being right?
Yeah.
Well,
honestly, yes.
I could live with that. We could agree to disagree. But,
Doug says, what about the spaghetti Westerns? Where are you on that? Now, that was kind of the beginning of the absent the moral code.
Oh. Yeah, we're the anti-hero.
The anti-hero, mm-hmm. that's what I was looking for, yes.
Well, the one that takes my breath away is the last movie with Fonda.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time in the West?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, but it's incredible.
Yeah. You know what? The movie that makes me feel that same way is The Wild Bunch. Every time I watch it, I feel like I need a shower.
Oh,
it's so gritty at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, and the Ernest Borgnine character is, did he have a crush on Pike? I never,
There's some type of tension that wasn't.
Yeah, that was very unusual. And, you know, I mean, we're talking Ernest Borgnine. I mean, this guy, one of the best American actors of all time. I mean, from Fatso Jetsam to he won an Academy Award for.
Patty, not Patty.
What the heck is the name of that movie, Jimmy?
Marty.
You know, one of my favorite movies.
Why'd I come
movies.
Up with Patty?
Me and my buddy Kurt were just talking about this the other day.
That's a great movie.
But, you know, very strange undertones. But anyway.
Yeah, well, there. Every once in a while, you have this incredibly great movie, but you can't stand it because it's just too painful. Yeah. I think that's how I look at The Searchers. It's an amazing movie, but I can't stand it.
Oh, I love it.
How I like it in my life.
I can watch The Searchers probably three nights a week without issue.
So, all right. How about the knockoffs? How about the like Terrence Hill, Bud Spencer, My Name is Trinity? Any of those Trinity? Oh, no, come on.
I can't, you know. The
little slap fight that he does. I love those.
And that rat face dude that he's slapping and all. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know what? But I want to go to also back to Rooster Cogburn. Mm-hmm. I think what's so amazing, he's with Katharine Hepburn in this.
Yeah.
And in effect, what they are doing is they're taking a Western, but they're really taking the story of Bogart and Hepburn on the African Queen. It's the same story.
Oh yeah.
Transferred right
you
over.
Know, I mean, Hollywood, you know, an original idea dies of loneliness in Hollywood. if you think about it, Pale Rider with Clint Eastwood, that's Shane.
It's just retold stories with new faces.
I mean, at the end, Shane, come back! Mm. At the end of the Clint Eastwood rides off and the little girl's yelling, you know, preacher, come back! You know,
Debbie says Hollywood. Hendo noted Lee Marvin in The Professionals.
Okay.
Lee Marvin in The Professionals.
That's a good shout out.
That's a good movie. Almost anything with Lee Marvin is good.
Yep.
Anyway, Brent, thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Real quick, somebody wants to debate. Now this is a gun show, so Arlie, I'm gonna give you 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say I heard that Thomas Jefferson invented jazz in Baton Rouge.
Well, and Baton Rouge is in Louisiana.
And a lot of that stuff came out of the ragtime era and stuff like that. So I'm with James Earl.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. To me, it's a little too Frenchy.
He says that as he eats a baguette.
They eat snails. We don't want nothing to do with these guys. I'm sorry.
There's a song about that.
There should be more than one. Anyway, Arlie, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Let's get to the business because, you know, this is why we are here.
We are here.
May 28th. Okay. We've got 400 guns already in the catalog now. I'm hoping... not this week, but the following week. So by middle of April, we should be done with our catalog.
Whoa.
And as soon as it's done, we're going to put that dude up. Guys, we don't have a ton of collectible like we did last time with the high-end Colts and Winchesters, but we got a ton of unbelievable shooting irons.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about the 1922. This is not a $10,000 gun, but this is...
It's a real rare bird.
And it's just absolutely gorgeous. You need a Python? We got Pythons. We do have some single actions.
I still need a Colt, man.
We got them. I mean, a Colt. We picked up a Colt Sauer rifle in I think 300 Win Mag. These things are rare as hen's teeth and absolutely gorgeous. I cannot wait for this catalog to hit because, again, there's no like, you know, $100,000 Winchesters in this one, but man, there's a lot
shooters.
Of really nice shooting irons.
I know that there are going to be a lot of questions about this. Mm. How are you fixed for match locks and wheel locks in this upcoming election?
No wheel locks this time around. We did real well with one in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
As match locks, I haven't had a match lock in a little bit. So
how many have you any lightnings, any knockoff lightnings?
With fiberglass stocks and nickel-plated boards.
Nothing yeah. says cowboy, baby.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, John, you really need to paint that thing. I think paint it brown or something. It just does not look yeah. But then again, he is shooting B-Western, so I guess
right. That's welcome to the one place you can get with.
Yeah, I could see maybe, you know, Gene Autry shooting a
carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber.
You know, just, he and Okie Dokie were on the same posse today, and all I can say is those boys make a fine couple.
Oh,
oh boy. Yeah, but like for this auction, I mean, just as much as we already have and how much you're going through, mm-hmm. I mean, rifle, pistol yeah. wise, well, it's a lot of great.
You know, I tried to, because it's May 28th, and mm-hmm. that's a holiday weekend. It's not the holiday because that's the day after, but the hall that we're in, the Elks Lodge down there, is so popular that it's really difficult
to get into.
To get into. And we were going to be June 11th, but that's another auction company is on the same day, and you can't do that. So we moved to May 28th, and they actually let us slide in. We're going to start at 9 o'clock. Normally, we start at noon, but we're going to start at 9 that day mm-hmm. because we have to be out by 4 because they have another function coming in at 6
that
o'clock.
Evening,
yeah, yeah, so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all works
well,
out.
Well, you've streamlined really, the process. Really. The catalog mm-hmm. goes up. When?
We should literally have the catalog up in about 2 weeks. Yeah, so about 2 weeks early.
Lots of time to do your online searching.
Oh, man. And I'm telling you, from start to finish, there are fantastic guns everywhere. And, yes, we got another Johnson in.
Hey.
This Johnson, I'm going to just be honest, isn't as nice as the last one, but this one comes with bayonet and scabbard.
The band, that funky, yeah, funky that weird little bayonet.
Yeah, tent stake bayonet. Yeah. Anyway, I hear the old music wow. on the wall. It means it's time to go.
Went by fast.
Want to thank everybody, as always, for listening in. Don't forget, we're here next week, same time, same place. Guys, got 10 seconds. Anything you
hey,
want to
say? Hey, no, thank you guys. I had a crazy week, but thank you guys for being here. Thanks.
GunslingerAuctions.com. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
All right, love you guys.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.